in June. I'd just like to start with the, and then maybe everyone can just consider that they're translating. So if you speak relatively slowly when you speak. But I'd just like to start with a premise that maybe we can confirm. And on the basis of it, determine whether qualifying Prabhupada's instructions at present is something due to a rise in Krishna consciousness or a decrease in Krishna consciousness. The premise is that when we join Krishna consciousness, everything Prabhupada said was Shastra. Everything he said was the absolute truth. And, of course, we've discussed some certain issues that maybe Prabhupada uses information like 32-ounce brains, which may not be technically accurate, but still his purpose, intent, is perfect, and if Krishna wanted to, he could end up creating a universe with women with 32-ounce brains just to make Prabhupada's words come true. But anyway, my question was, were we in Maya at that time to think that way? Or is qualifying or changing sort of the absolute nature of Prabhupada's statements Maya now? I mean, were we really an illusion? Was it wrong to assume that when Prabhupada said something, Prabhupada's statement for us was as infallible as Krishna? Generally, that's what he used to say. He would say, equal faith in Guru and Krishna. I assume that that was on the basis of the fact that they were equal. You have equal faith because they're equal, not because they're one's perfect and the other one's fallible, but you have faith anyway, but because they're equal. So were we in Maya? Was the whole movement in Maya?
Well, I'd like to hear what you mean by they're equal, because in 1970, when the sannyasis and the...
Well, you know what I mean. I'm not a Mayavadi, so I don't think I have to qualify. That's not what I mean by equal. I mean that their statements are equal.
People are hearing this around the world. Not everybody knows you as well as we do, so maybe we should edit.
Just that their statements are equal.
Yeah, they're equal.
Their statements, and they're coming from the same place.
That's right.
They're coming from the transcendental realm, where there's no four defects. There's no illusion, there's no cheating, there's no making mistakes, and there's no... What am I missing?
Imperfect senses.
Imperfect senses. Maharaj, you were going to say something.
Yes. Perhaps we could look at that question from two angles. First of all, it could be said that over three decades have passed since Srila Prabhupada was with us physically, and in that time we've matured a lot, and therefore we have to adjust our conceptions of hearing Srila Prabhupada according to our maturity. The second angle could be that since Prabhupada's departure, there were some problems, and so that those problems, not in Srila Prabhupada, but in his movement, caused us to rethink our whole approach to hearing from Srila Prabhupada. Those are the only two angles I could think of that would cause us to want to do a a shift that you present, or a changing of course.
That you will want to change, but do we want to change course? I appreciate both the maturity as well as experiencing problems, but I think the substance of what we want to discuss is that where does one draw the line? How far do you go? We may not repeat the 32-ounce argument in the same verbatim way that we did 30 years ago, but we don't think any different, or one shouldn't think any different of Srila Prabhupada, or think that he was any less perfect because for his purposes of his own, he used information that was, in other words, that was technically incorrect. We don't qualify his stature, his position, or his statements in any way.
I think Srila Prabhupada answered this in this conversation that's been the basis of our discussion.
You know what this is?
Oh, I don't know what that is. I'm talking about the thing that you...
Oh, no, this
something
is,
else.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
This one. There's only a couple copies here. My printer would not be very good.
Okay.
But there's two copies to complete.
Three.
Well, maybe three.
Oh.
Let's see.
Okay.
But there's two that are perfect.
Okay.
And the third and the fourth have some irregularities in it.
All right, I'm keen to see. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'm just thinking that Srila Prabhupada indicated to these two devotees who were challenging him that they had to first of all qualify themselves before they could put their questions or challenge, or not challenge, but they were challenged. But in the Gita, in the fourth chapter, 34th verse, the famous verse, Tadvidu Paripantina, Pariprasnina Sevya, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that two things are condemned in the process of spiritual, cultivation of spiritual knowledge. And the first is blind acceptance. And the second is absurd inquiry. So, obviously, we have faith in Prabhupada, but that faith is not blind. It's based on a whole body of knowledge that he gave us. It's based on the experience of watching him in action and seeing him do things that no one else has ever been able to do. Super empowerment. And therefore our faith in him is not blind, but we have absolute faith, complete faith in him. And the second point, I think, that touches your point in that purport is that we shouldn't, we're not allowed to ask absurd questions. In other words, we have to be qualified to ask the question. So my point of view on this, in a basic sense, is that, so we've been around for a long time. We've seen a lot of things. We've experienced a lot of things. But that doesn't mean just necessarily because we're older and we've seen a lot of things that we're more mature spiritually.
Exactly. Are you spiritually advanced?
Mature spirituality, from my perspective, from what I can understand from Prabhupada's teachings, is the application of the teaching that he's given us from the beginning.
Yes.
Now,
I agree. So you're defining maturity, which I think is very important. The maturity isn't becoming intellectual, getting PhDs, who knows, experiencing whatever tribulations have gone on in ISKCON. The maturity is becoming spiritually advanced, becoming attached to chanting Hare Krishna, going deeper into one's own self, in which case Srila Prabhupada is open to being approached by disciples.
Absolutely. On a whole realm of issues. Absolutely.
Whether it be, you know, what is the status of the fifth canto, what's the status of Raghunuga Bhakti, what's so many other things. But it requires maturity, and until you had it, then Prabhupada would say, just chant Hare Krishna, meaning qualify yourself first.
It's a science.
But I think the point that maybe David Mithu Maharaj is why he asked to have this printed out, because I read through it quickly before I printed it, is that at all times, and Prabhupada uses the example of even Lord Chaitanya, at all times the disciple is a complete fool in the presence of the spiritual master, under all circumstances. So it's not a question of the disciple's maturity and with respect to his inquiry, it's before the spiritual master.
Right.
That under all circumstances, in the presence of the spiritual master, the disciple is a fool.
Well, generally we were much more of a fool in Prabhupada's physical presence than we were in his absence.
So perhaps we've confused physical maturity and experience with rocky roads with spiritual maturity.
Yes, I think that's what Maharaj is saying.
Or material expertise.
Yes.
Or material success.
Which was the point you made the other day about someone becoming proud of their own intelligence and trading off material qualification for spiritual qualification.
Yes.
Is this a suitable time to enter into this?
Yes.
You want me to read it out?
There's a couple of complete copies.
This one's only got 2 pages.
That's all it is. It's 2 pages.
That's 1 point.
This is one complete one.
That's it.
This is complete.
Okay. Yeah. I'll let you hand them up. Prabhupada. When is this? Where is this?
This is also complete.
Any time on this?
This is
1976, August, Bombay, August 16th.
Prabhupada, you see, you can become independent. No one can check you. Everyone is independent. The Tejasi, Ta Guru. But one who wants to be regulated, he has to surrender. That is voluntary. Otherwise, everyone is free to do whatever he likes. And those who are surrender souls, they will wait for the instruction of Guru and do accordingly. That is the process. That is the proper. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chitete Kariya Akya, Arana Kariha. That is wanted. Otherwise, everyone can remain independent. All living beings are independent. Even if I say that you do not do it, you are independent. You can do it. Even Krishna gives independence to Arjuna. Tejasi Tathakuru, I've told you everything, now you do whatever you like. So, that depends on the candidate. Everyone is free to do anything. But, if he's actually serious, then he has to do Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chiteti Kariya Chiteti Arana Kariya. This is Achyutananda. What prompts the soul to misuse his independence or improperly use Prabhupada? Because he has got little independence. He has got this, Achyutananda. Why do some misuse it and some never misuse it? Prabhupada, that depends on him. If one is determined that I shall only act according to the advice of my Guru Maharaj, then he's perfect. One has to submit like Arjuna said, Shishastiham, Shadimam, Paanam, otherwise he'll argue. Devotee, even Nityasiddha has Guru, Yashamati Nandan, even the liberated soul Nityasiddha, Prabhupada. Liberated soul never says that I'm liberated. As soon as he says liberated, he's a rascal. A liberated soul will never say that I'm liberated. That is liberated. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's God. Guru Mori Mukadeki Korila Shashan. My Guru Maharaj saw me fool number one, and he has chastised me. He is God. This is the example. If one remains always a servant, everlastingly of Guru, then he's liberated. And as soon as he thinks that he's liberated, he's a rascal. That is the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Guru Mora Murkha Deki. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Murkha. Why he's posing himself that Murkha? I'm rule number one. That means that is liberation. You must be ready always to be chastised by Guru. Then he's liberated. And as soon as he thinks that I'm beyond this chastisement, I'm liberated, he's a rascal. Why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Guru Mura Mukha Deki Karya Shashan? This is Sahajiyavada. He is thinking, oh, I have become liberated. I don't require any direction of my Guru. I'm liberated. Then he's rascal. Why this Gaudiya Math failed? Because they tried to become more than Guru. Maharaj, you want to... What was your intent?
Yes, I found this as quite incisive presentation of the heart of a real disciple. It's always good to do a reality check on oneself to see how much does this resonate with me, or how much do I feel a little, shall we say, my neck beads get a little tight around the neck. And yeah. Okay, Prabhupada, I appreciate your spirit, but... isn't there some leeway after all these decades, after all? And then there's the point, often we hear, Prabhupada said, this Krishna conscious movement is for independently thoughtful persons. So, the question, as you said, how far do we go with this? Seems to be the billion-dollar question. When we were young devotees, 35 or more years ago, we would repeat everything from Prabhupada exactly as we heard it. Now, more than three decades have passed. To what extent are we entitled to do a re-evaluation, consciously or unconsciously, of Srila Prabhupada's position, his statements? Based on what you read, it seems like attitude is very important.
Attitude. Important point. But the attitude. If the attitude doesn't stay, then the content is sort of by default not worthy of consideration. So I think that's an important point that you're saying, that the attitude needs to always be there. And that's the attitude, Guru Murkha Murkha, I'm a murk, I'm a fool.
And that attitude is that one should always be, under all circumstances, in all activities, Krishna says, depend upon me, work under my protection, such consciousness, such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. If you're conscious of me, you'll cross over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. But if you're not after such consciousness, instead acting false ego, not hearing me, you'll be lost. Which resonates with the commentary that Srila Prabhupada gave in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, where he says, fortunate is that person who is entrusted with responsible work, and if he's always conscious of everything that he does, of being subordinate to the will of the Supreme, then whatever manifests by his activities, he will be successful in his work. But if he's not conscious, if he forgets that he's subordinate to the spiritual master, to the cyclic succession, to the Supreme Lord, even if externally it appears nicely, it has not been done nicely. So, and he's using that in reference to Brahma's prayers for creative potency. He's specifically speaking about the attitude or consciousness that one works in, is that this, he always is subordinate to the superior order. And under no circumstances can you make a statement or that challenges or undermines the superior order of the spiritual master, the civil succession. I say that's included within attitude, the attitude of the disciple.
Going back to the conversation we were talking about in our last session, in which Srila Prabhupada, you know, drew a very strong line with these devotees who were challenging, what I've seen in over the years of traveling and preaching and dealing with this issue and questions as they come up as we're, you know, trying to help devotees understand this point of, you know, what realization is, and how it doesn't mean that one should try to take a superior position to the spiritual master at any time. I see that the tendency, if one takes the knowledge that we're receiving in an academic way, which means, you know, I'm learning something, I'm looking out at the world through that knowledge, and I'm using it to tell other people whether they're like this or whether they're like that, whether they're correct or whether they're not correct, but without applying that knowledge to me, you know, so that I become firmly situated in the truth of the Gita, which is the fundamental or the essential teachings, and take those teachings with me as I go through to the higher teachings, then I can mature, and then rather than coming to a point of thinking that I can, you know, reevaluate Prabhupada or add or subtract something to what Srila Prabhupada said, which Prabhupada said he couldn't do, rather we may package what he says differently, and that is what I think Prabhupada defined as realization in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, where he says that, you know, one should take the instructions of the spiritual master and give them without changing. The essence of the teaching must stay the same. You cannot change the intent, the message, the basic teachings, but you can say it in your own words in a way that is enlivening and acceptable and accessible to the audience that you're speaking to, which automatically includes over time, perhaps, you know, the adaption of language, the adaption of a certain, way of expressing the same thing to make it more understandable to, you know, an audience that may be in changing circumstances in terms of culture, in terms of whatever. So when you talk about maturity, when you talk about these things, when I hear, is there a line that could be drawn, my mind withdraws from that idea, because each person is in a different level of attainment, each person is in a different level of spiritual realization, and to try to, as we talked last time, to try to standardize that and make a, you know, a rule out of it, you know, it will cause, from what I can see, it can cause a lot of confusion.
And based on what we were talking about earlier at lunch, I think we agreed that there are certain lines. In other words, when someone says, Prabhupada is wrong, Prabhupada is acting on the basis of his Victorian upbringing, Prabhupada's astrology says that, you know, he picks quarrels with people, then you know, there's certain places where you draw the line. Right? So, because there is such a thing, and that's what you were... You said you wanted to bring that up at lunch, to the concept of the offending when it becomes committing offense to Srila Prabhupada, either by questioning his integrity, his Krishna consciousness, or challenging
his motive
and or trying to change what he established, which was ISKCON. So then there is such a thing as Guru Aparad, which we say it every morning at 10 offenses. So that's a line.
Yes.
And then even we're saying that institutionally we have a resolution on the books. You commit offense to Prabhupada's teachings, you're not part of this movement.
Well, Srila Prabhupada himself
When he drew the line.
Yes.
With Nithai and with others.
He drew the line in that conversation we were reading. He just said.
And I remember, it's not for you.
I remember it was in Hawaii also, where, you know, one of his leaders was behaving in such a way, or the people were reacting to him in such a way, depending on how you looked at it, that they could not accept that leader. So they went to Prabhupada, you know, and they said, Srila Prabhupada, we accept you completely, but we can't accept this person. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada asked them, you know, things such as, you'll accept whatever I say, and they said yes, and they said, well, I say that you should work underneath this person. And then that's kind of like a test of their surrender to Prabhupada. Now the question, and I think it's the question that Maharaj is touching on, then in the latter part of this conversation, we find out that one of the authorities had approached one of those persons indecently. Indecently.
Not this one, the one we read
the other one before, yes, yeah. The last one. And these two persons were actually like baiting Prabhupada to get him to say that his authorities were absolute so that they could play that card at the right moment to, I don't know, expose Prabhupada or expose something that Prabhupada is saying is not correct or whatever. And at that point, Prabhupada, because of their attitude, because of their offensive attitude, Prabhupada withdrew from the conversation and didn't say anything after that. So, of course, I don't want to put thoughts into Prabhupada's mind, but it was obvious that he was disgusted.
Attitude. I think that attitude point is very important.